Praise God. Well, I'm going to kind of hook up where I was the last time and continue a little bit on something. I got a prompt this morning to look at something quick, and I before I left my home and just looked up something. So I'm going to add a little something to this message, but I'm going to continue on the subject of healing or God's word is medicine. And I think it's important, you know, the word of God, the entrance of his word does what? Gives light, and it gives what? Understanding unto the simple. So we want to, you know, as Pastor Hagin always shares, we're living in a natural body. We live in this natural earth, so there's some natural things we have to attend to. You got to eat, you got to sleep, you got to exercise. You got to tend to this physical body. It is the temple of God, and we need to be examples of that. We need to let his goodness shine through us in just the natural way we conduct ourselves. But then there's a spiritual side, and so God always meets or manifests himself where? First in our spirit. We are a spirit because God is a spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit. That means we're made in the image and likeness of God, so that means we're a spirit. And so we communicate with God by our spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us, in our spirit, and he communicates with our spirit. And so we have a connection with heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm not out here trying to bump along in life, trying to figure it out. He already knew we couldn't. So he said, look, here's you. In order for you to receive my life, my nature, you need to confess me or believe that I am Lord, and to believe and confess that God raised him from the dead. When you do that, you receive his nature, his life, his eternal life. He begins to take up residence. So it's now no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. So he's alive in me. That's why Pastor Sarah, man, she's alive. This shell, it says, that this shell is going to get older and decay, and but this inner man is going to be renewed day by day. So we need to feed on the word of God. We need to keep feeding, feeding, feeding. You eat. Some of us look like it. We eat. And some of us sound like we don't eat the Bible the way we talk. You understand what I mean by that? I'm not stepping on any toes, but some of us need to back down the natural eating and increase the spiritual eating, because it's going to help us. Because when we leave this body, my spirit, whatever I've sown into this spirit, it lives eternally. So I don't need to be going to Faith 101 when I get to heaven. We need to be learning that down here and exercising our faith down here. And so, when it comes to a healing, we need to keep feeding on the Word of God and exercising our faith, even in the small things, not walking in the fear, because we've been given a sound mind. Doesn't mean we don't go to the doctor, doesn't mean we don't protect ourselves with things, wash your hands, do things, just natural things, right? But we don't need to walk in fear of what things go on in this earth. Hallelujah. So Jesus, something that was shared recently at some meetings, the first Adam was perfect. And he did what? He missed it. And because of sin, death entered in and was passed to all men. But the second Adam was what? Perfect. Pastor Clinton used to say it another way. He was our prototype. He lived in this earth as a man. anointed by the Holy Ghost. Yes, he was God, God in Christ, reconciling the world. It was God in Christ, but he gave up glory. I like what one writer said. He gave up unequaled glory. And he came here and he gave that up, where some translations in Philippians say he gave up his divine privileges. What does that mean? He didn't operate as God. He operated as a man, anointed by the Holy Ghost, Acts 10:38, who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so he's now our standard. So I like what one minister said recently. You know, people in church, I'm not saying here, but people in church say, you know, we just can't be perfect. That's wrong. That's not scriptural. That is not scriptural. When we say, well, you know, I'm just not perfect. Oh, really? Not scriptural. He's perfect. He's living in me, which makes me perfect. Now, we miss it, yes, but the more we yield, the more we feed on the Word of God, we miss it what? Less and less and less and less and less. And that's why when the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I understood like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That means you got to do something. That means when you keep feeding on the Word of God, when you keep walking in love, you get developed into what? A perfect man. So to say you can't walk perfect like Christ, the Scripture says in 1 John 4, we're to walk even as he walked in this earth. Well, if I can't be perfect, then he's unjust. Right? So that means we can be perfect. He's our standard. He's the standard, not the world. He's the standard. He is what? Lord. Yes. Yes. That means if he is Lord and I confessed him as Lord, then that means everything I do, I'm submitted to him. I'm submitted in my thinking. I'm submitted in my body. I'm submitted in my talk. I'm submitted to him. Now, what does that mean? Brother Hagin would say it another way. He would say, the Word is preeminent, means it's first place. Why? Because the Word is Lord. Because he's Lord. So if he's Lord, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If he's Lord, then that means the Word, I submit to the Word. That means if it says it, I do it. Now, you know, we know that. We miss it. We miss it. But we are keep feeding on the Word and decide and choose to act upon it. And the more we do, this is what Brother Hagin would say, the same thing. I'm not trying to bring that out, but he'd say, the reason people's faith doesn't work as well as it does is because they reject the watering process. Meaning, they don't spend enough time watering, 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 watering. And their faith withers. So it affects the growth process. That's another way of saying it, right? It affects your growth so that you can't walk as a perfect person. Right? So God, now I'm talking about being walking perfect. So let me, just so that we all are on the same page, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Because if you thought you weren't perfect or made perfect, let's see what the scripture says. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21. I'm going to read this from the New Living, so it's real plain. I'm going to read it from the New Living, then the Passion, and then the Weymouth translation. So everybody understands that you can walk perfect. The New Living Translation in Hebrews 13, verse 20, says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified," what? "An eternal covenant with his blood, may" what? "May equip you with all you need," "for doing his will. May he produce in you," how? "Through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen." Now let's look at the Passion Translation. It says, "Now may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would be the great shepherd of his flock, and by the power of the blood of the eternal covenant, may he work" what? "Perfection into every part of you, giving you all you need to fulfill your destiny." He working in us. "And may he," and it says, "and may he express through you," that's what he wants to do. He wants to work through us. We're the body. "And may he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with Jesus, the anointed one, who is to receive all glory forever." Now let's, one last, we're just going to look at the Weymouth translation in Hebrews 13. It says, "Now may God, who gives peace and brought Jesus our Lord up again from among the dead, even him who by virtue of the blood of the eternal covenant is the great shepherd of the sheep, fully equip you with every grace that you may need for the doing of his will, producing in us that which truly please him through Jesus Christ. To him be glory to the ages of ages. Amen." So when we say we can't walk perfect, you're really saying that he's not working in me. Because he said he's working every grace that you may need for doing his will. So he's working in us, and the key becomes for us to do what? Yield to him. You know, Jesus, let's go back and just look quickly at what Jesus did or said. In John chapter 5, we're familiar with this, verse 19 and 20, and then verse 30 in the King James. John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, and verse 30. This is Jesus speaking here. He said, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these." And verse 30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, And my judgment is just because what? I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. So God is, he desires our fellowship, our love, and he wants to work through us so that we can display, just like Jesus. He was a representation of the love of God. In other words, when people said, well, show us the Father. What did he say? Have I been with you so long? Don't you know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So God is looking to work in all of us so that when we walk in this earth, when we walk into places, the love of God is manifested. Not our opinions, not our tudes or attitudes and thoughts. Our thoughts need to be his thoughts. Because he said here, what did he say in Hebrews 13? He said, he's working in us. He said, may he work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. I like what the Wayman says. Fully equip you with every grace that you may need for doing his will. So you all know this. I'm going to need his grace to sow my seed into the kingdom of God. I need his grace to sow. I need his grace to love someone. I need his grace and compassion to bring healing and comfort to people. Don't we? We all need that. We need his grace, his what? His help, his compassion working in us. So we need that grace, that compassion working in us, not just us personally, but the world. And that's what he wants. He wants his will to be done, right? So this is one of the things that just was uppermost in my thinking, was that this is what Pastor Sarah and Clinton spent their time investing their time into people so that they would grow up in Christ and bring the gospel to people to help them. In however way God graces you, because we're all different. We all interact with people differently. But God is going to grace you with everything you need to do his will.
Yes.
But we need to go through life not just ignoring the prompts. You know, I say that. He's Lord. When he prompts you to do something, do it. Do it. No matter, you know, I just say, if you believe it's God speaking to you, then yield to it. You know, somebody shared something a few years ago. I thought it was insightful. They were talking about just when the Lord prompts you to say something or to do something, they were just sharing the best way that they operate, and I thought it was very insightful from a mature minister. They said, when God gives us something to say or do, we look for the opportunity to execute it, to do it. It doesn't mean I just run off and do it. Because Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. He said, I do what the Father shows me, but you look for the opportunity to do it at his direction. Because when you do, everybody's heart will be open to receive it. Does everybody understand that? And I think it's a wise counsel that when we get a prompt to do something, I don't mean ignore it, but you say, okay, Lord, I hear you. How do you want me to do this? When do you want me to do this? And you'll know when it's right, because everybody will be like, oh yeah, thank you. Not, I don't want to hear that. So everybody's heart will be open to receive what the Lord prompted you to do. You see. So we need to listen to him and then also what? Yield to him. Glory to God. So when it comes to healing, when we're talking about compassion today, let's look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. We looked at this before. But I want to look at this in the Passion Translation. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 40 and 41 and 42, in the Passion Translation, and God is what? Working in us every grace to fulfill his will. That means when you purpose to go out and share the gospel with someone, God will grace you with the compassion and love to do that. So Mark chapter 1 and verse 40 in the Passion, it says, on one occasion, a leper came and threw himself down in front of Jesus, pleading for his healing, saying, you have the power to heal me right now, if only you really want to. So he knew he had the power to do it right then and there, but he said, only if you want to. Being deeply moved with what? Tender compassion. Jesus reached out and touched the skin of the leper and told him, of course I want you to be healed. So now be cleansed. Instantly the leper's sores completely disappeared and his skin became smooth. So his compassions never fail. He's the same, Hebrews 13:8, what does it say? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was compassionate then, he's compassionate now, he's compassionate forever. Psalm 135 and verse 8. In the King James, Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9 in the King James, and then we'll just quickly look at the New Living. It says, the Lord is what? Gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is what? Good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. In the New Living Translation, it says, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. Say everyone. That means me. That means me. He showers compassion on all his creation. He's good to everyone. Even when we're not feeling it or even when it doesn't look like it. You know, I was thinking about when we were at these recent meetings at the Ministerial Association for Rhema. We were in Lancaster, and the lady that was ministering oversees the schools in Samoa and Fiji. That's a nice calling, isn't it? But they're busy. But she shared how her testimony, which was heart-wrenching, She shared how, you know, that her and her husband had started this and were directed, assigned to go to that particular area. And after a number of years they were there, they had started, I think, one school, or I don't remember, she said more than one at the time. But her husband became ill, and he had a disease, And he was fighting. They knew the word. They fought the word of they stood on the word. They fought. And she was running the school and being a caregiver, helping him in and out of bed, bathing him, doing all those things that a caregiver would do to the extreme. And finally, he succumbed. He passed. And she said she was on the floor crying. And she said the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said, "Patty, get up. You're winning." And she said, "How am I winning? How am I winning?" And he said, "Patty, get up. You're winning." So in the midst of that, and then she began to share with all of that, she had an autistic son who was very, you know, not controllable. He got kicked out of the schools in Samoa. This was all going on with all of this. And then she took him to the States, to Tulsa, and then she said, "Well, I'll get him in there." And he got booted out of those schools. So she's trying to navigate all of this. And he said, "Get up, you're winning." So she said through, she made herself get up and begin to say, in that state, "I'm winning." Through, you know, brokenness, she said, "I'm winning." It's what we say. In that emotional state, "I'm going to get up and carry the baton. I've been given this baton. I'm not putting it down." And she said that what God had assigned her was to start 30 schools in that area. And so she had a big assignment. And so he said, "Get up." So now I think somebody correct me. I think she said they have about 6 schools now. I think it was, no, she was assigned to do 30. But she said she has about 6 schools now. They have some on Fiji, they have some on Samoa, and they have another island that they've started. But she talked through the faith walk. She ended up remarrying. She didn't have any intentions of remarrying, but she said, you know, she ended up remarrying somebody from Samoa. And wonderful person, we met him, and a very wonderful man. But the Lord instructed them to buy a ship. Now hear all of this. To buy a ship. So they could take that ship and go from island to island, which you couldn't get. You can't get to the islands except by ship or boat. So this boat that they wanted, or ship, because it's not a boat, it's a ship, cost $2.5 million. She said, "We don't have that kind of money." See, this is where God begins to work. When you say yes in the midst of a hard thing, when you get up and say, yes, Lord, I'll do that, He will supply the grace that you need. Whatever it is. You could be a housewife with children. Whatever that assignment is, don't try to do it in your natural strength. You won't work. So anyway, she shared her story about how she said, "Okay, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do this. We've got a couple $100,000. We need $2.5 million. So she said, out of the clear blue, Keith Moore called her, Brother Keith Moore. Now, of course, she knew him because they went to Rhema together. They worked together. But he said, "The Lord instructed me to take up an offering for that ship." He said, "Are you living right?" "Yes." "You love God?" "Yes." He said, "Okay." So he said, they took up, I think, 1 or 2 offerings. And in the course of the meeting, 1 week in those meetings, they raised $1.75 million. So they sowed into that ship. So now she called back the owners. They had dropped the price from $2.5 million to $500,000. See, when you say yes, see, God will work the thing out. He will work it out. But you got to say yes. You got to say yes to his will. So now the owner said, well, you know, we got 3 or 4 other bids. She said, but we have cash. He said, sold. So they sold the ship. They got the ship. They had all this extra money to refurbish it. So now they got the ship refurbished, but I think it was stateside, so they had to get it. She didn't say where, but they had to get it to Samoa. And she said, well, we spent everything. Now we don't have anything. She said, so what her and her new husband decided to do, she said, we're going to do whatever it takes to get that ship to Samoa. She said, so we sold our house. We sold everything to make the money to get the ship sailed to Samoa. So she said they mustered up a couple $100,000 and they got the ship there. And the rest is history, because now they're sending that around all over in those islands, obeying God. But that's when the Holy Ghost said, Patty, get up. You're winning. Even in the midst of a hard thing, get up. And sometimes when we go through hard things in life, we need to get up. We need to hold steady. We need to walk by faith. We need to look to him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him. And he going to direct your path. He's going to show you how to fulfill his will. Just don't yield to the hardship. Yield to him. Amen? Just in the last few minutes, because we're talking about his compassion. But think about Ephesians 3:10. I'm going to read this from the King James. Ephesians 3, I'm just pulling that out. We could certainly read more than that, but I love this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12. We'd really read 9. Let's read 9. 9, 10, 11, and 12. And the King James, and then we can read the New Living. But God's purpose is that we stay connected with him. That we are, what we were saying before, he's our standard. We're to operate as he operated. Was he ever sick? No. Now, he knows that this body is corruptible. But he gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us. And he said, if the Spirit of God is in you, he quickens your mortal body by his Spirit. So this body sometimes wants to act up. He's given us his Spirit to quicken it. Hallelujah. So for Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. Let's read this. And it says, and to make all men see. See, I love this. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the what? The mystery which was from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, to the intent, this is what his intent is, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by God. No, it says might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now let's read this in the New Living. And starting in verse 9, I'll wait till they put that up. It says, I was chosen, this was Paul now, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which was carried out, how? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So God's eternal purpose was what? To use the church to display his wisdom and its in its rich variety to what? All the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So we need not say, oh, the devil's running this place. No. He wants to use us to take back what's been taken by the devil. Yes, he's referred to as the God of this world, but he's working through those who are disobedient. He's working through people who yield to him, but he's been stripped of his power. We've been delivered from darkness and translated into his glorious kingdom. So he's not Lord over us. Jesus is Lord. And the devil is defeated. And God here says, Paul is saying by the Holy Ghost, God wants to use the church to display his wisdom to the unseen forces. What does that mean? You get out. I bind you and forbid you to operate in this area. I forbid you to operate in my home. I forbid you to operate in my children. I forbid you to operate in my spouse. I forbid you to operate in my body. In the name of Jesus. This is the grace and compassion of God. He wants to operate in and through us and not just sit back and go, oh God, please help me. He already has. He already has. He wants to use us, but we've got to yield. We've got to yield to him and say, Lord, use me. Use me. Use me. Work through me today. Speak through me today. Operate through me today, your wisdom and your goodness to who I come in contact with. That's his will. That's what this is saying here in the New Living. God's purpose. See, you know, when we talk about purpose, when God said to me, I sent him to train you, not be your friend, that was his purpose. So the same way, all of the word, all of the seeds of the word that were planted in you for a purpose. So that he can now do what? Use you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is what, you know, when we talk about revival in the church, that's what this is. This is us, the church, waking up, revived, and going out and impacting society, not the other way around. God wants to do what? Use us to do what? make known to the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places His wisdom. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if it stirs you, but it stirs me. Glory to God. So God is not moved by our needs. You know, that may sound different, but He's not moved by our needs. And God's compassion is over all His creation. But He's not moved by our needs. He's moved by faith. And faith in Him. This is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So we need to seek Him. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. And so we draw upon those by faith. Amen. And we walk in the blessings of God. Glory to God. And we're all His ambassadors for Him. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus, you know, that was the one thing that we can say throughout His entire ministry here on this earth. We're to not believe, what's the best way to say this? We're not to believe in His power, we're to believe in His love. We're to believe in Him. Let me just close with this scripture here. 1 John 4, we can look at that and close. 1 John 4 and 17. It says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God does what? Dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. That word known in the Greek is a Greek word called gnosko, and it means to have an intimate knowledge of something. So this means we have an intimate knowledge of love, and we believe that love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And then it goes on in verse 18 where it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. So we don't, the scripture says we're to believe the love that God has to us. Not believe in his power, but believe in his love to me. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is power. It says God is love. So I believe the love that he has towards us, the compassion. Hallelujah. So no matter what we face in life, we know he loves us and cares for us. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for your compassion. We thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. We thank you for your healing compassion towards us, not only in our bodies, but our minds and our souls. And Father, we thank you this day that you love us and care for us. We thank you that you live in us, and we thank you that your love lives and dwells in us, and it motivates us and moves us to action. And Father, we thank you. We thank you this day for the blood of Jesus, which has established the covenant that we have with you and cleansed us of unrighteousness. So, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, there's a scripture in 1 John, and we're familiar with this, but I like this particular scripture in the Passion Translation. And, you know, we always read this scripture in the King James. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, what? To forgive us and cleanse us of unrighteousness, from all unrighteousness. But I like the Passion Translation because this, to me, explains this a little more clearly. And they can put this up. It's 1 John 1 and 9 in the Passion Translation. And this is why it's so important that when we feel or sense inside that we've missed it, that we need to quickly correct that. Because it affects our relationship. It affects the fellowship, not the relationship, but it affects the fellowship that we have. Jesus never had broken fellowship with the Father. And so I like this. It says here, 1 John 1 and 9, in the Passion, it says, but if we freely admit our sins, when his light uncovers them. See? Not you digging around because because the scripture says, and I'm digressing here, Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now what? No condemnation to them who walk not by what? Who walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So we're not under condemnation, but when he reveals something to you, correct it. Fix it. Because this goes on, it says, but if we freely admit our sins, when his light uncovers them, he will be faithful to forgive us every time. That's compassion. That's mercy. And so what? He'll forgive us every time. God is just to forgive us our sins because of Christ. And listen, and he will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you are, when it's revealed to you or you sense I missed this here and I ask for forgiveness and he cleanses me, that means the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse me of any unrighteousness unless he reveals it. How does he reveal things to us? In our spirit. He lives in my spirit. You all know when you miss it. Everybody in here knows it. You just have that little knower on the inside. You go, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. Or when he's showing you you shouldn't do something and you decide to do it anyways, you missed it. See? So that's what we're sharing. That we want to stay in perfect fellowship. You know, this reminds me of a story I read years ago. It was a story about an African tribe in Rwanda, and they call this, you know, I have to try to find it and print it because it's kind of hard to find it now. It was very easy when I found it, but now they've got some, the term, if you go out and look for it, the tribe was called the Shining Ones. And I shared this story one time. There were an African tribe, and they were in Rwanda, and this was around the time where, right around that time where they had that massacre in Rwanda, and they fled Rwanda, and I believe they went into the Congo. But this person wanted to meet up. He had heard this story, and he said, "Is it possible?" And this was the question. This person graduated from Rhema. He said, "When we see the scripture in Romans 12:2, where it says, 'Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect,'" as that word perfect again, "perfect will of God." He said, "Is it possible for us to have a metamorphosis where we are actually reflective of God's glory in the earth? Is it possible?" Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was transfigured. And this man said, "Is it possible?" And so he met this tribe, and he said the reason they were called the Shining Ones is because they began to glow the glory of God. This wasn't spooky, this was spiritual. And what happened was, over a long period of time, they began to walk in that tribe in forgiveness. If they missed it, they were quick. They said they wouldn't go to bed without asking for forgiveness to whoever it was that they had aught with. And they began to do this, and their skin began to shine. Now, as he wrote it, if you're from Africa, your skin can be much darker, almost a bluish tint. He said their skin shined. And he met one of the men that was part of that tribe. And he began to share. He said it happened over 20, 30 years, but they walked in forgiveness. That's what this is talking about right here. That when he reveals something, you ask for forgiveness. And as you do that, your fellowship is unbroken with God. And his glory begins to operate unhindered in you in a greater measure. See, we all want that. But there's things we have to do. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. So if you're here today, and I just share that, you know, let God speak to each of us. If we are in this room, and maybe you haven't asked Jesus, or you're online, maybe you haven't asked Jesus into your heart. Maybe, you know, you haven't confessed him as Lord. Maybe you believe that, but you haven't actually said it with your mouth. You haven't said that you believe he was raised from the dead. Then we do that. Also, if you've missed it in an area of life, don't leave this room with aught in your heart. Fix it. If you know something, you say, "I know, I should," then do it. Just say, "Lord, forgive me.